Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
Hey,
welcome back, my geeklings.
Welcome up, welcome,
geeklings.
How are you, my geeklings?
I'm good. How was your geek week?
Are we now Don's geeklings?
Yes. Everyone's my geeklings.
Oh.
I'm very magnanimous that way.
Okay.
Anybody have a good geek week? Or
I got sick this week, but it gave me a motivation to go out and buy Civ 4 and lock myself in my bedroom overnight.
Which apparently is great, you were telling me.
I really enjoy it. I think the gameplay is more solid than Civ 3 was, by long shot. More intuitive. You get what the items are, what the leaders are supposed to do when they show up. And I got very excited when Thomas Edison appeared in my civilization and followed closely by Moses.
Followed by Moses?
Apparently there's no real time continuity to when these leaders show up. You know, and I remember Leonardo da Vinci was born in Nanking. So it was like there's no real loyalty.
He was. Everything good came from China.
I finished Shadows of the Colossus.
Oh, you did? Can I have it now?
Sure.
Good. Mine.
Wait, how did you finish
it?
Your Xbox was down.
It's a PlayStation game.
Did I mention I have Civ 4? Oh. You cannot cause jealousy in me in any way, shape, or form.
Oh.
Hey, you were talking about the civilization. You were saying one of the great things, one of the problems that was always with Civ 4 was that once you start to get really big civilizations, it's kind of harder to run the world.
Yeah, I have a hard time explaining how they changed it.
Well,
but it's very simple.
You were saying that one of the things they naturally do is when you're just starting out, the map is really close up, but as you start to play, the map automatically kind of pulls back.
That's interesting.
It was because it's very strange at first if you're used to playing Civilization, because you're really up close and personal. Like, you can only see like 5 or 6 squares of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying what's revealed. I'm saying literally that's all that fits on your screen. So your units are huge and detailed, and you can see what they look like.
Interesting.
You know, and every unit, instead of it just being a little icon like it used to be,
right,
it's 3 or 4 actually fully rendered warriors. And as they go into combat, it zooms in on the combat.
So you're saying your unit is huge, essentially.
I'm saying I have an enormous phalanx, my dear boy.
An enormous phalanx.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That's good to know.
You should see the size of that pike.
I just had a weird thing. Have you guys ever had like really, really odd tech support things happening to you?
I avoid tech support.
We'll have to do tech support as a future geek topic because today I called up Linksys for tech support and I was very obviously routed.
I think this is the third time you've suggested we do tech support as a geek topic.
Yeah, I think so because I want to stab someone. But I ended up with this guy and literally this is how the conversation started and it cannot go anywhere from here. Hello, my name is Clint O'Hara. How can I help you?
Clint?
Clint O'Hara. No, I mean, what are you choosing from a list? Come on.
Apparently a completely randomized list.
There's no Indian guy in the entire... I mean, I don't care if his name is...
My name is Buck Sasaki.
I mean, come on. And then it went downhill from there. Because I said, really? After that, and he was offended. And yeah.
Don't offend your tech support.
Don't offend the tech support.
It's a bad idea.
But I bought a cool printer, which was really, really awesome.
That's
and
geeky.
I started a new character on World of Warcraft.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a good game, damn you.
Please.
You're not coming back to us?
I've had it. It's done.
He's had an asshole.
I mean, the game is not... It's fine. Are you
gonna
play? Repetitive. It's the same game.
Are you going to try out the Dungeons & Dragons MMORPG when it comes out with us?
I think I've decided I'm not a big MMORPG. I'd rather have, like...
Aaron needs to do some talking.
I'd rather have like a role-playing game that 6 of my friends could all co-op in.
Okay.
That would be a better game for me.
So if they update Neverwinter Nights so that you could GM and really it would be very interactive that way.
You can. It's just difficult.
Yeah.
You
know?
If they upgraded Neverwinter Nights so we could all do voice chat and all play together. Actually, we could all play together.
Right.
And we could
Skype.
That would be that would be fun. I would enjoy that.
Okay. Cool. Shall we hit some news?
Another podcast, Major Nelson, which a lot of you listeners probably know about. He's an employee of Microsoft, and he comments and does a lot of information about Xbox and Xbox 360.
Does he have a wife named Jeannie?
No.
Okay.
But Major Nelson, his last podcast, he was dispelling some rumors. And the one rumor that he was kind of annoyed at – now, this is, seems like a nice guy. I really like listening to his podcast. But one of the rumors he was dispelling is that people are out there saying that there isn't a very big supply of Xbox 360s, and there won't be this Christmas holiday. And what he said, this is all bull. There's going to be – that Microsoft is delivering every week a huge batch of Xbox 360s all over the world.
Okay, Santa.
Okay. Let's review. I have asked my EB Games, where I have a
Xbox,
order,
and you're number 20.
Order. Right.
That's what you said. You were number 20.
Like, before the Xbox was even priced, I had pre-ordered, okay? I asked them today, when is another shipment coming? And they said, well, maybe next week. And I said, have you received any Xbox 360s at all? After the first launch, he says, we haven't received one single one. Now, I'm in Los Angeles, California, and this is a big GameStop,
right,
or EB Games, same thing. Okay? They have received one shipment. It is now 10 days, 8, you know, 10 days
two
till
weeks.
Two weeks till Christmas. Okay? Best Buy, I have asked, and Target, they have received zero Xbox. It's been a month, and now the rumor is that on the 18th, Best Buy will be getting a second shipment, which means they have only received one before.
Hmm.
So either Major Nelson, who is an employee and dispelling these rumors,
is wrong.
He's getting misinformation, or somebody's lying. I'm not saying he's a liar or anything. I'm just saying that this is not a rumor. Okay. There are no 360s out there, Major Nelson.
At least in Los Angeles.
At least in
our little corner of Los Angeles.
Right, exactly.
I know a screaming horde of people who have Xboxes, but it's all because they work in the industry and were given them.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, but it seems to me that every corporation I know out there, and I'm not talking video game corporations, I'm talking like, you know, the plumbing utility down the street, has one Xbox that they're giving away as some part of a promotional plan of some sort.
Right.
You know, a promotional giveaway. Buy our pipes, you get an Xbox, you know,
right,
or a chance at one Xbox.
I'm just, you know, my news is that Best Buy is supposed to have another second shipment on the 18th. It doesn't look like they're getting that many. And I would like somebody like Major Nelson to explain to me where all these things are.
Yeah, well.
Is any kid going to have an Xbox 360 for Christmas? Mm-hmm. I would like to know.
Why don't you
email
him?
I'm sensing that Aaron actually is a little bit
He
wants his damn Xbox under his tree.
I just want an Xbox because mine's broken.
Right.
And I'm willing now to just almost give up the
machine. Actually, this is your rant is actually the Xbox equivalent of DTs. Right.
Yes, I'm having...
You're having...
I'm just... what I'm upset about is I think this could kill the Xbox.
Okay.
They needed to get their machine out a year before PlayStation 3, right? That's the reason why they launched before everybody else. Here's their one Christmas without any competition. And now they screw it up. I mean, it would be really sad if we don't have an Xbox Live next year.
I don't know.
There's
a part of me that's wondering if... You know, in January, there are going to be 100,000 crestfallen children who really wanted an Xbox 360 that are all the more rabid for it now that they didn't get it for Christmas.
So you think a parent is not going to buy something and put under the tree and then wait till February?
I admit I don't have a strong argument, but it's...
I mean, the parents are going to put something underneath
forward.
The tree.
Yeah.
They are. They are going to either put an Xbox 360 or they're going to put something else.
And on top of that? Christmas is when you put out the big bucks, and after Christmas,
yes,
that's when you're broke. So come January, if all the Xboxes come in...
That's not entirely true. There is also another buying rush in January with the Christmas money.
I don't know about you. You work for a large company.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know about your company, but if I were the top people of your company, I would be pissed. Because I have a couple 360 games that I can't move off my shelf because Microsoft isn't putting out the machine.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were your company, I would be having some big long phone conversations with.
I cannot comment on that at this time.
There might be other things that are going on that we don't know about.
But if you could see Don's face as he said that.
No, there is no face to
see. No face.
Okay. Nothing.
I don't know. If I were like EA games.
Clayface.
If I were EA games, who is very huge, I would be having some serious conversations with Microsoft.
Unless, of course, you'd seen the EA 360 game.
Speaking of which, your comment that there's a buying rush after Christmas. Yeah, but that's typically...
I'm not saying it's as big as the Christmas buying rush.
Yeah, but it's typically like, you know, people will get like a $30, $40 gift certificate.
Calendars.
Your big expenses happen before Christmas, where you spend the money that would be spent for something like this typically.
We'll see. I don't understand their strategy here.
I assume there
is a strategy, because something like this can't be done by accident.
Well, they could have made a mistake. They could be falling behind in their worldwide release. It's coming out worldwide, and they could have just screwed up.
I'm on your corner with this one. I don't believe this much of a shortfall could be a coincidence. This sort of incompetence would be written about in newspapers.
You know what?
There must be a strategy.
That's what I thought, but we're getting close. I was going to swear up and down that it was a strategy.
If it passes Christmas, though, then we'll know.
It might just be that it's a worldwide release. I mean, it's just, you know, going everywhere. So, Matt, you have something to say?
Anyway, EA has acquired Jamdot. If you know what Jamdot is, it's a company that basically powers most of the games on mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
They've basically said that if EA's intentions for the mobile gaming sector weren't clear before, they are now. They acquired Jamdot for $680 million. In doing so, EA went from having a passing interest in the sector to being a major player and already has plans for new games next year. The deal sees EA paying $27 per Jamdot share, which was above its market value. So now EA will officially be going directly into the mobile internet gaming.
This is where for a while there was that rumor that they were going to come out with their own handheld device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think this is kind of. I mean, I think people knew that they wanted to get into mobile gaming.
I don't know the first major cell phone gaming device. Does anyone remember its name?
No,
the first one.
Yeah, the first major marketed.
Like the Engage.
They had the
Engage, that's what it was.
With that had riffs on it, which
fell
was so
on its face so fiercely.
And then the second one, which is what's that one where they're putting advertising on it?
Oh, whatever.
We saw it at E3. Yeah.
Which one? The Gizmondo?
Gizmondo.
I love the Gizmondo. I think it's a very good product. I just think they market it incredibly badly.
I believe that there is no future for cell phone games. I think they're a fad, and I think they're going to die a horrible, screaming, agonizing death.
Apparently, there's a lot of money.
I think you're completely wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it will work until cell phones get incorporated into larger screens, larger, more like handheld gaming devices. That tiny little screen, no, doesn't cut the mustard for most folks.
I think that you're wrong. I think it's just a different type of game. I mean, there are certain games that I've played a lot on my cell phone that were fantastic, and I would still play them. It's just that the majority of the games are not the type – strategy games work really well on the cell phone.
Yeah, like Puzzle Bobble works out really well.
Right. There are other games that don't, but at the same time, people do seem to be buying them, and it seems like this is a really good strategic move for EA because – they've got a bunch of titles that they can now release.
But what are they going to release?
Madden. You just see one pixel, like assaulting another pixel.
I'm aware of three different cell phone game companies. And I'm aware of other gaming companies that make games for cell phones. There is a differentiation there. But I don't know if any of them actually really making a significant impact in the market. Most of them tend to license other games or come up with small Tetris E or Bobble E type rip-off
games.
Pac-Man
was big this year on the cell phone that got released.
Mine's Bejeweled, and Bejeweled is the big, huge game for Jamdot. That's like their hugest seller.
Yeah, my phone had Bejeweled on it because it's a Palm, and it was pretty much a Bejeweled dispenser for 6 months. It's
even
like
Bejeweled, that game's been around in different forms since like late years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll see.
All right, Don.
I'm just going to gloss over this story real quick because it's actually a rather large, involved story. But the headline is Engineer Outwits Fingerprint Recognition Devices with Play-Doh.
I heard that.
Oh, good to know.
I've seen this done with Silly Putty.
Wait, so he mushed his fingerprints into...
Apparently, she took, dead digits and used Play-Doh to fool recognition devices. It's a little deceptive. It's not like she just pushed it into the Play-Doh and then pressed the Play-Doh against the recognition device. Mm-hmm. But elements of the Play-Doh were able to be used to cast molds correctly. Mm. On an equal level with, say, certain medical fashioning studies. Right?
Yeah.
So... just, cool. Just an interesting side note.
I think I saw that done on Tech TV. They had a...
it just sounds very MacGyver, doesn't it?
It does.
I can see MacGyver severing someone's hand and dipping it in Play-Doh. And...
well, if you've got the severed hand, you can just do it. Use the hand.
I don't think you can. I think if it's dead, most recognition devices will pick up on that somehow.
What, no, really? Like heat or something?
I don't know if it's heat or if the oil chemistry changes after death. I have
I don't think that they check oil chemistry. I think that all they do is scan the print. Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I honestly don't. But I believe that if it's dead, it doesn't work correctly normally.
All right. Well,
all right.
So.
Sorry. That was my fault. I wanted everyone to see, I'll have to show you guys later. I showed Peter. There's a website, I think this was on dig.com, so some of you may have seen it. This couple people have put up 3D images that you don't have to use glasses with, mm-hmm. and they're just the both stereoscopic images flickered back and forth real quickly, back and forth, okay. using flash animation.
Is this what you were showing me before?
No.
You went to that 3D club?
No. This is completely different.
Okay.
But there's a website with all these photos, and it works, doesn't it? I mean,
it works pretty well.
It's amazing that you kind of get this 3D image out of these. So we'll put a link on our website, but you definitely have to check it out. It's all, you know, don't need glasses.
I want to see this.
You don't need glasses. You just look at it on the screen.
On the screen.
And yeah, it flashes it fast enough, and you get a sense of 3D.
Yeah.
There's a trick to it, though. You can see that certain of them work better than others.
Okay.
And if what they're taking a picture of is all in a certain visual distance range, it works really well. So, for example, if you're photographing something and everything's about 4 feet away,
mm-hmm.
it looks really good. If you're photographing something and everything's really far away, it looks pretty good. But if there's stuff in the foreground and stuff in the background, then things move a little too much to look 3D.
Yeah, the perspective change happens too much. There's too much of a
shift. Is it just like multiple photos with different focus lengths? Or
no, it's just two. They take both stereoscopic image, one eye and the other eye, instead of putting them,
side by side.
Green, red, or side by side, they just flicker back and forth between them, and your brain just puts it together.
But they're only like an inch apart,
Slick. Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, well,
check out our brains. Are cool.
Yes.
Or wacky.
So I saw an article on the New York Times basically talking about some of the best inventions this year.
Right.
Okay.
No, cool.
Ooh, so, just a recap.
I'm just going to go through three of them now and then three of them in a minute.
Okay.
One is the anti-paparazzi flash.
No.
Yes. And a group of researchers at Georgia Tech.
I've never heard of that.
Why is nobody using this? What is this?
They just designed it now. I mean, it's going to take a while before it goes out. But the whole concept of it is that digital cameras can contain a retroflective surface behind the lens. Mm-hmm. So they hooked up a prototype using a modified video camera to detect this lens. And then it shoots out a targeted 3-inch beam of light at the offending camera. So
you have to set up this machine, and then it's like a gun that hits each camera?
It'll just shoot the camera and get it when it sees that there's a lens.
That is freaking brilliant.
And on top of that, the Motion Picture Association of America is very excited about this because they want to mount them into movie theaters to combat video pirating. Okay.
Ooh. Very cool. Do you see the flash, or is it some type of infrared thing?
You see it, I think. I think it's very visible.
I have a feeling that... there may be a really easy way to get around that.
Well,
like just a small lens.
Yeah, regular camera.
Yeah. Or regular camera, yeah.
Yeah, film camera instead. Okay, the anti-rape condom. Okay. Have you guys
ever
heard
of that thing? Oh, that's creepy, man.
You guys have heard of Dentata before, right?
No.
Dentata is it's an Asian folklore, basically. About the woman's vagina having teeth inside of it.
Right.
Okay. Well, basically, this is the equivalent of Dentata. It's a condom that a woman will put inside her if she's afraid that she's going to be raped or might be raped.
And it's got, like, teeth in it.
And it's got basically little teeth in it.
It's like fish hooks. The guys can slide in just fine, but any attempt to pull back out and these teeth just come down from the inside of the condom. And it just pegs you there, and you're hooked.
Wait, you want it to come out.
He'll tear himself apart.
He can pull it out.
Yeah, he's stuck with it.
But now it's stuck on him, and now he's... Well, I don't know if it's stuck on him or not, but he's damaged.
Yeah, he's really damaged.
So now the woman has proof that there was an attempted rape.
Yeah.
Or at least attempted sex. Yeah,
this sounds like it could be... Get the guy pissed off and not a good scene, but...
I thought of the same thing, but I think that if this happened, I would be somewhat... preoccupied.
Yeah, if it causes enough damage to actually cause agony, that might be a very effective device.
They said that
some neurotoxins
make him start hallucinating.
Wow!
Like suddenly on the ground. It's like what is that? Young Sherlock Holmes. Where suddenly they start hallucinating things.
I don't know. That seems
bizarre. Sounds like an adult super villainess.
Yeah. Well, the woman
Badge o' Doom.
The woman who designed it is this Russian lady, right?
I didn't see. It was a technician, a retired blood technician in South Africa.
She was doing it because there were so many women who were getting raped in the Darfur region and stuff like that.
AIDS.
So she said, you know,
fight back.
F this, fight back.
Yeah.
I swear to God, she looks a little bit like, what's the name of the female villain?
Frau Blücher?
She looks like Frau Blücher. She also looks like the woman from James Bond who has
on the top?
Yes. No.
Whoa.
The one with the,
two images that do not fit together.
Exactly. The one with the knife in the front of her boot.
Oh, yeah. From Man with the Golden Gun. Yes. Yeah.
That was the lamest villain gimmick from a Bond movie ever.
And it has been used...
I've got a knife in my foot.
And it has been used 9 million times since.
Yeah.
All right. What's the other one?
So that was the Rapex. Now, another one is dialing under the influence. Okay. DUI. basically, if people are afraid they might... DUI, they can dial 333 and then a number. This is on, I think, Virgin Mobile in Australia. They can dial 333 and then the number that they're afraid they're going to DUI, and it will block it until 6 a.m. the next morning.
Hey, Eris, guess what you're getting for Christmas?
Now, you're sent into Australia, so you can use it. They did this sort of as a stunt and were surprised when the service was used 10,000 times over the past year.
Wow.
Including... one man who used it 250 times in a single month.
I love you.
Wow.
I just wanted to call up because
that's
crazy. I love you.
So I'm gonna save my other three for when we come back around.
Okay. And in the brains are so cool category, bees recognize human faces.
Oh, I saw this.
Really?
It's weird, man.
For like up to 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah. So. Scientists have demonstrated that honeybees can recognize human faces sometimes for days, actually.
Oh, really?
Adrian Dyer of the University of Cambridge and his colleagues trained the bees to associate photographs of particular human faces with a sugary treat.
That was a cough. Lozenges throwing around the room.
Later, 5 bees were able to pick out the right face from a group of others. The results of the study reported in the Journal of Experimental Biology may eventually aid the development of computer vision system.
Wow.
2 bees tested 2 days after the initial training retained the information in long-term memory. One scored about 94% on the first day and 79% 2 days later. The second bee score dropped from about 87 to 76 during the same time frame.
Crazy.
Yep.
Those are some pretty good numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
And these bees go back and they, you know, they have this language where they can go and communicate and tell other bees directions and all sorts of crazy stuff. I think this is a little bizarre.
Yeah, so when people are like, you know, you know all the science fiction movies where there's this swarm of bees or locusts and it's coming after just one person?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's possible.
Wow.
It is. Well, I mean, isn't that the whole thing with killer bee swarms? They were attacking one person.
Just one guy.
Sylvester. It's always going after Sylvester.
Yeah, why is it always going after Sylvester? Inform the question.
The Superman movie has hit a new bump, so to speak.
And it's not in his tights.
Actually.
Oh,
yes. That's the entire news story, Aaron. Thanks for blowing the joke.
I thought I was being clever.
The Superman, the new Superman is giving movie bosses a headache because of the size of his bulge. They fear Brandon Routh's profile in the Superman skin-tight costume could be distracting, reports The Sun. Hollywood executives have ordered the makers of Superman Returns to cover it up with digital effects.
Are you serious? Oh, homeboy is too well endowed?
The Sun source said the major issue is for the studio. Brandon is extremely well endowed, and they don't want it up on the big screen. We may be forced to erase his package with digital effects.
Can you imagine that job? Oh, man.
Brandon, 26, has taken over the superhero's cape from the late Christopher Reeve. Wardrobe artists have had to fit him with a special codpiece for the new film out next year. This sounds like a publicity stunt to me. One, special codpiece. All right, it's a codpiece. We're lifting and separating. Well, maybe not separating. But we're lifting and presenting.
Come on. They knew what they... Is this a Bryan Singer thing?
Yes. Well, Bryan Singer, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
This movie is going to blow so hard. I'm telling you.
Thank you for that choice of words.
As a side note, on our forum and in other places, have you guys seen the X-Men teaser yet for X-Men 3?
No.
Yeah.
My friend just worked on it, by the way. We can get him here if we want.
All right.
What did he play?
He's not. He's the...
best boy?
Yes, he's the best boy. No! He's the visual effects guy. He did all of the makeup and stuff.
You are so going to get jumped by the entire Best Boy Union when you leave the studio today.
Damn that Best Boy Union.
So there you go. Superman's package.
All right, whatever.
My gift to you.
That film, I'm telling you.
You got any more?
What? Didn't this guy play Christ?
I don't know. I saw the trailer for this, and it looked like ass. So.
Someone else told me that, but I
like the trailer.
I liked the trailer.
Really?
Yeah. He looks like a complete doofus.
I thought he looked like a moron.
He does look like a doofus.
Well, I was kind of looking around him.
And you could barely see him in the teaser trailer.
I saw his face in one shot.
He looked so young. I mean, he looked like he was 4 years old.
Genesis,
I think the oldest superhero I can think of right now is Ben Affleck in Daredevil. Like, all the rest of them are, like, early 20s nowadays.
Anyway.
Gee, you mean Mr. Fantastic, who has gray hair, is under is 25 or under? That's a great idea.
Okay.
Ass.
He did it with shoe polish. That's just wrong.
The next three inventions that I saw, the runaway alarm clock.
Yes. This is a good idea.
Yeah. After you hit the snooze button, it will run around the room and find a new spot to hide.
This is a good idea.
And each time you hit the snooze button, it'll keep doing it until you turn it off.
That's great.
I thought it was hysterical. And you can start it off on your nightstand, but it will run off the nightstand and then continue to run around the room.
Cool.
Genius.
Wow.
The porn suffix. This has not actually come out, but it's a suggestion that someone's made.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, dot porn?
Dot triple X.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think the whole concept of this would be, it would be such a great way to keep kids out of the out of the porn and porn sites.
Why do you think it's a bad idea?
I think that it will not. I think that kids will get around it and they'll be able to go straight to all these.
It makes it incredibly easy for you to create a program that simply just will not go to a dot triple X site. And if everyone is relegated, if you have any type of pornography or intense smut. There you go.
You're going to make the entire world who's really into following the rules put .xxx at the end.
You can at least do it inside the U.S. And actually, I think most porn sites would like to do that because it's a real easy way of them getting out of it's a marketing gimmick too.
What's going to happen, you're not going to get – first of all, you're going to have – it's going to cost more money for everybody. So we're going to have to buy geeks.xxx so that somebody else doesn't buy it and put up our photos, spray painted with onto, people doing each other.
Hey,
Google.com is going to have to buy Google.xx. I mean, it's just going to cost more money for everybody. That's all it's going to do.
Well,
kids are going to be able to
find
it.
I just had an image of our faces pasted into porn.
At least give me a good body, at least.
What's wrong with that?
Okay.
All right.
Another idea that they had was a dot kids domain that's specifically for kids. Make it real easy to
for perverts,
for pedophiles to find them.
Perfect. Okay.
The last two more. Another one is forehead billboards.
No, it's been done.
It's enough with the car.
Right. At least
has been
done.
This is what the article's about.
That's just where we're
really
Andrew
looking.
Fisher, a 21-year-old website developer in Omaha, Nebraska. Went on eBay and auctioned off advertising space on his forehead.
Yeah.
The winning bid of $37,375
Damn it, I need to get these ideas.
How long is it for?
1 month.
Wow, that's it?
Yeah. Fisher sported a temporary tattoo of the logo of an over-the-counter sleep remedy called Snore Stop for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Snore Stop estimates that they got nearly $1 million of publicity.
Oh, yeah.
And their sales increased 50% as a result.
And now Geeks On is supporting them.
Mm-hmm. And it goes by the name,
I think of these stupid ideas before they happen?
Skinvertising. So,
okay. Put them on cleavage. At least get people looking at it.
That's been done.
Well, Carrie Smith of Bountiful, Utah recently did Andrew Fisher one better. She put her forehead out of lease for a permanent tattoo. For $10,000, she's now emblazoned with goldenpalace.com on her forehead in thick black block letters for
she
life.
She got screwed.
Yeah,
that's
she did.
That's okay. The dumbest thing.
The last one is preventing suicide bombings. One idea is called detection by detonation, where they fire radiation at each
approaching. Yeah, we can tell when they detonate.
They fire radiation at each approaching car, and if there's a bomb inside, it'll set it off. So it keeps them from getting close. It means that if there's anyone else near them, it'll still go off, but it protects
you. That works.
It
seems kind of easy.
Well, yeah, if you got a 500-foot radius around the area where you can...
Well, what you do is you build like a giant...
I'm curious how much radiation we're talking about here, too.
Well, what you could do is you could build a giant, like, lock system, like, where you... A big concrete, road tunnel. You drive in, you stop on a red light, they go... And
yeah,
then you keep going if you didn't blow up.
Let's remember, people have to travel on these roads sometimes 6-7 times a day. 6-7 doses of gamma radiation. We're going to have an entire generation of Hulks running loose down there. It's not going to be
all sterile.
Those Morlocks.
Another idea was to train bees, moths, butterflies, or rats to pick out bomb vapors.
So know they know for at least 2 days.
Wait a minute. Why don't we just show these bees those, like, terrorist pictures?
Yes.
And just let them go.
Exactly.
Well, I come on. The fact that we can't find Osama bin Laden, a 6'4" Middle Easterner on dialysis.
That's another podcast. All right. Is that the last one?
Really want to get me started on this topic, Matt?
All right. Anybody else?
The bear, Matt. Poke the bear.
So today.
Wait, one more. There's plane spotters that are keeping tabs on the CIA. There are people who are plane spotters just because this is something that they enjoy doing. They take pictures of planes as they are going in and they are leaving airports. They watch the runways. They document what they see. Apparently, some plane spotters are unintentionally aiding journalists and human rights groups by gathering infos about the CIA's quote-unquote extraordinary renditions, essentially the abduction of foreign nationals to interrogate her or him outside the law. Because they've been able to record when these planes are leaving the United States and what's been going on with it.
So this goes to those black sites that are around the world?
Yep. January last year, Joseph Manchado saw a Boeing 737 on the airport tarmac. He pressed his camera shutter button while speculating idly that some U.S. millionaire was in town. He got the picture of the Boeing with the number on it on airliners.net, and he forgot about it. Within a few days, Mr. Manchado started getting strange calls and emails. They came from the U.S. and from Sweden. People were asking me questions about the plane. They obviously weren't all plane spotters because they were asking questions that people who know about planes don't ask. Months later, he got a call from Germany's ZDF television. A man called Khalid El-Masri had come to them claiming he had been kidnapped by the CIA from Macedonia, bundled onto a plane and taken off to a prison many hours away. Several months later, after allegedly being tortured, he was flown back and dropped in Albania. One of the planes thought to be involved was one Mr. Manchado had photographed. It was believed that it had flown onto Macedonia that very same day. With the photo in their hands, ZDF reporters were able to persuade Skopje Flight Control to give them a printout of the flight plan. The aircraft had gone from Palma to Skopje and from there to Baghdad and Kabul. Mr. El-Masri's story, convincingly told but difficult to believe, fitted. So they're starting to prove that the CIA is jacking us around.
Okay, so I want to say... Wow, that's really sad. People hanging out at airports and photographing planes as they land and take off.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, should someone who spends his days chasing orcs around the world of Azeroth be pointing the finger at people taking photographs of planes landing and taking off?
Glass House.
Yeah.
I would watch it.
I've got a big ass bat.
Glass House with catapult.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a trebuchet.
Trebuchet.
Before we get into a topic, we want to we made a little deal with the guys over at Signal, the podcast for Firefly fans and for Serenity fans.
Firefly.
We're gonna do a little promo exchange. The reason why we're doing this is they're promoting a sequel to the Serenity movie. So what you have here coming up is their little trailer for that. So enjoy.
Check it out.
Excellent.
Hands on knees and heads bowed down. Everybody now. This is a podcast, and what we're after is for everybody. Listen up. We're campaigning for Serenity 2.
You have to give me your authorization password. Okay.
11 podcasters with a mission.
This is the captain. We may experience some slight legal difficulties and then get sued.
I don't want to get sued.
Here's us, on the raggedy edge. On the day there won't be room for naughty folk like us to slip about at all.
A series with a story.
I'm taking Firefly into my protection here.
We're conditioned for combat. Firefly is a series of extraordinary crises.
The only people we're in debt to is us on this boat.
Listen, do you want to stay with them?
It isn't safe. Hell yes.
A network wanted it dead.
Every minute you keep Firefly off the air, more people will suffer.
You think I care?
Of course you can.
Universal has gone to enormous trouble to fund your little movie. Do you know why it is you're rallying?
Somebody say, hell yeah!
Do you know Joss Whedon?
I really don't.
It's better than you know.
It usually is.
Where is it writ that we gotta dedicate our lives to Firefly?
You wanna write this script?
Yes.
Well, you can't!
From SerenityFirefly.com.
No more running. I aim to misbehave.
It's a fair bet the Fox Network knows what's coming.
No, they're not gonna see this coming.
On February 1st, stand up. Fight back.
Do you really think any of us are gonna get a sequel?
Well, I might. This is going to get pretty interesting.
To find interesting.
Oh, God, we're all going to get high?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The Signal, Season 2.
The universe has got to know the truth.
Are you willing to make a podcast for that?
I am.
Serenity is worth fighting for.
That's a good trailer.
It is good. It's good. Actually, it is good.
Amazing.
So, but I have to say, I mean, like, I would love to see a new Firefly movie. I would love to see a new Firefly movie, but, you know, it needs that special Lisa Lassick touch, you know?
I would like to be in a new Firefly
really
movie.
Important to me.
I agree.
Know? And let's face it, you know, there's only one villain we really want to see come back for the movie.
Christina Hendricks.
That's absolutely. Right. Christina Hendricks should probably be in the sequel at
God
least.
God damn it, yes.
All right.
Because you know she's hot.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's funny. We talk about it, you know, half-jokingly because she's Aaron's sister. But
and hot.
The truth is, we've had strings on our forums where people just go off on tangents about their storyline that they're kind of hoping for. Like, yeah. I've heard people saying, mm-hmm. no, I hope she joins the crew.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah,
you know, and becomes part of the ongoing storyline. And,
yeah.
You know.
Interesting.
She was at a Firefly convention this weekend over in Burbank and saw the whole crew down.
Oh,
I was supposed to stop by, but I just.
Aaron.
I had to go get a Christmas tree instead.
Which is standing naked in your living room
excuse.
Right now.
Yeah, well, okay. You know.
All right. As we were saying, this week we have a special episode. It's the Surprise the Geeks with the Topic episode. We have no idea what the topic's
well,
going to be.
Well, you three don't, I.
Yeah, right? Matt.
Except for Matt.
I came up.
Who has brought us a topic.
So any complaints about the topic should be sent to Matt
at
geeksan.com.
I was just thinking a couple of things. One was that it's the end of the year. You know, it's that time heading towards the new year. Things are happening. People are watching it. They're ready for the ball to come down. And the other thing was that we got called out last week. We got called out by one of our listeners, wrote that letter, and said that you could not be a geek if you had ever dated anyone. So I was thinking.
Or if you're dating somebody
so
now.
If you're dating somebody now. So I was thinking we had to do Geeks on Dating.
Geeks on Dating.
Yes.
So can this that include is, Geeks on Marriage?
It can be. That's the thing is, you know, you guys are married now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you two, Aaron and Pete.
Right.
So can you still officially be called Geeks?
Well, I guess that's up to you guys and the listeners to decide how much of a geek. First of all.
If any of you people knew Aaron, you'd know, yes, you can be married and be a geek. There is no question on this matter.
Here's the thing. I did a little checking up. So first of all, I checked up. I found out a little bit on geek dating nowadays.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. There's a couple of websites, which I'll relay to Pete to put on our site. There's geektogeek.com.
Is this a dating service?
It is
right?
A dating service specifically for geeks.
I've heard about this.
To hook up. There's another website called geekcheck.com that basically helps you get a mate if you're a geek. And I thought we could, in that vein, get some hints, some tips, some advice, how to date when you're a geek. And I also brought a flow chart.
I have heard of the, what was the first one you mentioned? The geek.
Geek2geek.com.
Geek2geek.com. Yeah. I think I've heard of that one. In an article talking about Evercrack, right? And people meeting through Evercrack. And the big problem with this Geek2geek website apparently was that the male-to-female ratio on the website was something like 95 to 5.
That's all right. That's like Alaska.
Yeah. So geeks are like oil
rig oil workers.
Or fishermen.
With more specific habits.
Well, okay. Obviously...
You got married, so you did something right, I think.
Yes. And I...
I secretly think it involved chloroform.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of did. I mean, really, it has everything to do with my wife's ability to put up with me being a geek.
So tolerance is part of it.
Right. But here's the thing. First of all, I consider myself a functional geek.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you're like a Rain Man. Of geeks. Yeah. You can actually go out and just go
VERN 42. Yeah, 42.
GURPS is excellent. Excellent.
I love
GURPS.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent
definitely GURPS.
Master.
I think that I'm a sociable person.
Right.
And I used to not be, actually. When I was younger, I wasn't. And that has helped me. I'm not good with women at all. The dating thing was just disastrous. Just
I thought you learned, were you like scored in college?
Well,
occasionally.
I did.
You know,
yeah, it's just was not good. I mean, I went to a theater school, so it was like a big orgy.
Right.
I mean, you know, theater school's like, come on.
Okay, so that's the first.
You can't get laid in
the first
theater school.
Hint and tip is to go to theater school.
Right. You need to de-geek yourself a little bit. No, but no, seriously, as all my girlfriends have known that I've been a geek, and they, if they don't like it, then that's. Gets dealt with right away. And I didn't spring anything on my wife. She's known for years and years and years and years and years that I'm a geek. And I don't push too much of it on her, but she has become way more geeky than she used to be.
Yeah.
And she plays board games with us now, and she watches Mystery Science Theater with us, and she goes to see all the geeky movies. So, yeah, she's becoming a geek.
Yeah.
But it really has to do with her. And I would suggest that you be yourself, because otherwise you're just going to be miserable.
Yeah. And what about you, Pete?
I know a lot of geeks who kind of put their geekdom in the closet when they start dating a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they generally don't seem terribly happy about it. Like, they're happy to have a girlfriend.
Right.
And they love her. You know, and I'm talking about three different people I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, I full on, you know? My geek goes way back in the back dark corner of the closet whenever I start dating. My ex-girlfriend, I remember we were sitting across the table from each other, and I was like, you know, I had a book of Robert Jordan or something like that in my car, which is high fantasy geekness, and I threw it on the passenger seat, and we're about to go to lunch, and she goes, oh, is that Robert Jordan? I read the book right before that. And literally, I turned into a 10-year-old and went, really? That's so cool. And I just went into this huge spiel, and I outed myself completely. Luckily, we ended up dating.
She was a geek.
Yeah. Luckily, she was a huge geek.
But so do you find that now you're dating somebody that you –
that is most certainly not
back?
A geek.
You've
no,
pulled
no.
back?
No, no, no. Cat
I think
is.
You have. Remember our like late night Halo sessions? We used to role play way late at night. We haven't done that
You've
year.
Tucked it away.
Yeah.
I've pulled back?
How dare you?
I've
How dare you?
I didn't know.
Yeah. When was the last time we sat down and played fighting video games into the wee hours of the morning?
I didn't know, guys. I didn't know. I thought I was...
Well, Peter's merit. I am married.
As are you. To as a non-geek. Peter is married to a non-geek as well.
Actually, I would say that Tracy is sort of a stealth geek. You
may have to explain on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, let me start by saying Trace is sort of a meditation geek. She's into weird stuff like that. She's also a complete Lux addict. That game.
Well, now that's brand spanking new.
That is new. But
I'm not sure if like new age and meditation stuff would be a geek thing though.
I think
that'd be more of a fruit thing. You know.
Well, maybe that's what it is. But she was a theater geek. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's an actress. Fine. So mm-hmm. she did go through the whole theater geek
thing. But she's also cute because she's an actress.
It's true. She is very cute.
Is she cute because she's an actress or is she an actress
because
she's cute?
Wait a minute. We gave Lisa the geek test and she passed completely.
That's true.
Like
she shamed
geek.
You.
Yeah. So you know, just because you're like good looking doesn't mean that you're automatically out of geek. Although it hurts your geek status if you're hot.
This is true.
Right.
Because I don't know if this is entirely true, but this has been my personal observation. I know a couple very attractive geeks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've met my friend TJ.
Oh my God. Yeah.
TJ Storm.
TJ's ridiculous.
Okay, my friend TJ Storm.
TJ's not a geek.
6'4". Oh my God.
What do you mean?
Oh my God.
His favorite movie was, what was that crap ass movie that he said was his favorite movie?
I don't remember.
Some horrible science
fiction. I guarantee you,
the movie.
Oh, right. Okay, but I guarantee you right now he is playing City of Villains.
Right.
Right? Which he does every night until he falls asleep.
He role plays Dungeons and Dragons
every Sunday. You know,
really?
And he owns more Dungeons and Dragons books than anyone else I currently know.
But TJ looks like, what's the name of that guy who played the bounty hunter in Aliens 4?
Yeah.
The black guy with the green eyes or whatever, the badass looking guy.
The way I describe him to people is he looks like the black guy from Andromeda.
Yeah.
He looks exactly
like the black guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a geek.
Oh my God. This is one of the most flaming geeks I've ever known.
Wow.
You know? But again, very attractive geek, right? And this is my observation. One, in mainstream, because he's an actor, he puts it away.
He dates women in leather all the time.
Well, and here's the other thing. One, he's devastatingly attractive, so these women are willing to put up with a Sunday night gaming, right?
Yeah.
And two, I find that women around TJ are suddenly interested in playing Dungeons and Dragons. So I think it's easier to be a devastatingly attractive geek.
Really?
No.
It's easier.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one.
I think you're reaching, Don.
It's easier to date when you're hot.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, people don't even hesitate or consider mocking him when they discover he's a D&D player.
That's because he whooped their ass.
He looks like he could.
Well, that's true, too.
What, didn't he play, like, Conan's best friend on the Conan television show?
Yes.
Yeah. He's played a barbarian, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And he looks like he could do it at any given moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I've got some bracers and some leather gear in the car.
Yeah. All right. So what are our geek's hints and tips? If you're a geek and you want to date somebody, what do you do?
Well, actually, I had sort of an interesting thought here because you were talking about, you know, before you were married, you were, you know, the whole dating thing was kind of off and on, right?
Yeah, but that's not a geek thing per se. That is, I have a personality. I've got problems. I was a really shy guy when, especially back in my dating days. Now I'm not.
When did you switch over?
Because
now you're like you come out with it.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Really?
Probably. Yeah.
Because I was, you know, shy, very insecure. You know, and actually, I would say dating Tracy was the thing that kind of. You know, when she sort of found out everything about me, was like, "Oh yeah, okay, I'll still take it. I'll marry you, and you know, I'm completely fine with who you are as a person on every level." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess I am too then."
Here's the deal.
Thank you for validating me.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying. You know, there was something to that. You know, suddenly I was okay with being a geek and happy about it. You know,
I think
not afraid of it or ashamed of it in any way.
I think that if you are and this is probably getting to the point where you end up being cool, because to me cool is being confident in yourself. And I think you should be as geeky as you need to be happy and confident in what you are and what you do and a good person. And if you display that you have that confidence, you're going to be a charismatic person and people will like you. You can get, you know, any man or, in fact, we had a woman on our website.
So, so you think that guy who went to the, what was the Triumph, the insult dog, where he went out to the guys on the street in Star Wars opening, the guy who was confident enough to go out in his Lord of the Rings wear.
No, that guy was nuts. There's a difference.
But he's confident. I mean, he really knows himself. He admits that he's a geek. He's speaking in the accent.
Yeah, you're right. That guy probably would have a harder time, doing it. You know, Will, on our, have you seen Will's girlfriend? She posted on Frapper. She's hot. She looks like Uma Thurman, at least her picture does.
Okay.
So,
well,
he's a
all
geek
of our geek
there.
Listeners are hot.
True. You're right. We have a lot of
our
hot
mice
listeners.
In their own way.
Nice. Aww. I wanted to show you all the geek dating flowchart.
Where'd you get that?
This is the geek. It's from the geek dating site. It does give advice if you need it.
So we can link to this.
You can link to the geek dating flowchart. It effectively basically says if you have someone in mind, you know, it tells you if you have a no answer or a yes answer, where to go. And
what is GPF?
I believe it's the GDF, which is the geek dating flowchart. You know, it's like.
Here's the thing: is you may not be able to do a lot of your geeky things with your.
Oh, I've seen
geek,
this before.
Your geek boyfriend / girlfriend, but you have to. I think having to do everything with your date is messed up anyway.
Yes.
So
this is a conversation I wish we'd had with Lisa, because I'd be very curious to hear the woman's side of
the woman's side exactly.
Because like it seems to me like as a guy geek, dating is really rough. But it seems to me like girl geeks don't have as hard a time finding. Well, because you know, they're girls and guys are willing to put up with anything. Really.
Lisa was telling me that she was dating a guy recently, and then when he went to her house, he walked in and she has like action figures everywhere, and he was like, "Okay,
oh,
well, but let's just keep Lisa. In mind. I mean, you know,
are we outing Lisa's love life on our show?
Probably.
Just I mean, that
was,
oh my goodness,
that was a non-specific thing. I mean, she's hot.
Let's keep in mind that there's always geek to geek, where it's a 95-5 ratio. You know, it's like, you know, if you're a girl and you're a geek, go there. You will find someone.
Yeah, you've got plenty of choices, honey.
Pick of the litter.
You got plenty of choices out there, honey. You do whatever you want, and you can get whoever you want.
Though, I mean, I have to recount. I ran a live-action role-playing game when I was in high school at a convention, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was something like 32 guys and 3 women showed up to play.
Yeah.
Right? The 3 women that showed up, one was dressed in, like, Lucy Liu business attire, right? Like, from Charlie's Angels, where she's the dominatrix businesswoman. One was in Ren Faire leather strap guard,
of course,
where it was like leather armor, but all strappy. Right. And the third one is dressed as a cheerleader. Okay. You
but
have
none
never
of, none,
seen.
No skin has seen any daylight though. Right. I've seen some of these Ren Faire girls like, you know.
Oh no, there's their skin. Seen
they look a little Boo Radley.
Oh,
okay.
I'm talking that's like good. Classic strap action going on. It's right. Beautiful. Right.
Excellent.
And, you have never seen, I mean, I know, I don't think any of you have ever been to a LARP, right? This
no,
is
once.
Just a genre you make fun of without ever being there.
No,
right?
No, it's once.
It's because it's easy.
Okay. But these 3 women ran this game. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't
sure they
believe.
Did.
It was crazy.
Of course they did.
Because everyone wanted a LARPer.
Nice. Nice.
But it seems to me like that's the dating scene, too. I'd be curious to hear from our female listeners. Is that true? Can you have any male geek you want? Tell us.
Yes. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we're completely clueless and women don't want geeks at all. I mean, what do I know?
Should you go through the flowchart?
No.
I don't know. I've heard some women describe like that they like nerdy guys.
Yeah.
Nerdy seems to be the adjective.
I've heard that
the adjective.
Lie. I've heard that lie.
Yeah, that's that whole thing. Like, I like a man who can make me laugh.
Yeah, that's right up there. Yeah, because, you know... Gallagher is always, you know, hanging up on girls, you know, on posters on girls' walls.
Show me your mallet, Gallagher.
Yeah. They have the geek dating flowchart effectively goes, do you have someone in mind? If the answer is yes, are they available? If the answer is yes, do they know you exist? If the answer is yes, they're truly remarkable, and they're available, and they know he exists, well, wonders never cease. If the answer is yes to that, ask them if they like computers. If the answer is that yes, then ask them if they like Star Wars. If the answer is yes, ask them if they like Hitchhiker's Guide. If the answer is no, then ask them if they have any redeeming qualities at all.
Yeah, all right.
It goes on from there. Anyway, so, two questions. Where do geeks go to score? If they're, you know, do geeks still have to go to the bars? Do they go to the Ren fairs? Do they have to go to the anime conventions? Where is the geek scoring place?
You're asking a room full of geeks where to go to score?
Yeah. You guys have, you're married. You've obviously found a place to score.
I was never
Two guys that are married and a guy that's been single since he was 12.
friends houses. You meet people through friends.
Yeah, it's extended friendship circles.
I've always been against the go to a bar type of thing, but you know, okay. It gets harder for people. It gets hard for people these days. They're working their ass off. They go home. They go back to work. They go home. It's hard to. I mean, hey, I know what it is, but find some geek friends and just hang out with them. If there's any women there, bonus.
I'm sort of picturing a huge number of guys hanging out together, hoping that one of the other guys knows a woman.
Right.
Now, what do you think
Well, that's kind of how it is for a little while. But guess what? It takes work. It's like tracking a wildebeest in the wild. If you want dinner that night, you're going to have to put some work into
so
it.
Geek women are sort of like this elusive unicorn passing through the trees in the distance.
I mean, come on. You can't just sit on your ass and just hope that the phone rings and like
well, come on. The analogy is correct. You're probably a virgin if you're geek.
This is Pelinor's journey. All right, so if you don't know where you're going when you're going to get a geek, when you finally find that unicorn, what do you say? What's the one-liner? Do geeks have a come-on line? Is there something that you can do to
want to roll my D20?
That's pretty good.
You just be funny.
You just be funny as a geek.
I'm going to roll a saving throw against hotness.
My favorite one, I actually collect really bad lines, and my favorite one that I ever heard recently was, "Do you like math? Because I think we should add the two of us together, subtract our clothes, divide your legs, and multiply."
Oh.
It's a really bad line!
How about...
It's supposed to be a really bad line! Nice.
All right. How about the word is legs? Let's go back to your place and spread the word.
Come on. Oh, you laugh at that.
Because that one's funny.
You didn't deliver yours fast enough.
Nice.
You milked it too long.
Yeah, you milked it too much.
Or how about, hey, I'm no Barney Rubble, but you sure can make the bedrock.
Okay, Matt, you get to try again.
Excuse me, are you Jamaican? Because Jamaican me crazy.
Okay, we're moving
on. How about this?
We should have moved on.
On behalf of Geeks On, we apologize to all of our listeners for this entire episode.
Excuse me, do you work for UPS? Because I could have sworn you were checking out my package.
No!
All right. None of those worked on Don.
All right, this is why I'm still single.
Okay. So shall we move on to our next thing?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, let's talk about geek gifts.
Yeah, we just really wanted to quickly before – this is just a quick thing out there. Because Christmas is coming up, we just wanted to name some things out there that we thought you might be able to get some geek friends if a non-geek out there is listening. But also just some suggestions for geek.
No one told me they had to be realistic presents.
They don't.
They don't have to be realistic presents, but, you know,
they could be world peace, George Bush out of office.
Okay, then my first suggestion to everyone is a Segway and a polo stick.
A Segway and a polo, because you want to play Segway polo.
I want to play Segway polo.
Yeah. Excellent.
Segway the transportation device.
No, it's verbal.
Cute. I broke.
Well, I know, but I'm just
like our brilliant transition from the bad pickup lines to gifts.
Well, I guess you're not getting one this year.
With pickup lines like those, I don't think you are either.
Why don't we just all go through our top five, or do you want to go around in circles?
I have broken down to board games, video games, gadgets, and DVDs.
Oh, you rolled. All right, okay.
I'm just ad hocking. I don't have a list.
Okay, then let's start with games. I'm going to say a couple that we've already talked about in previous episodes, but I think it's worth just bringing up again. Memoir 44, great two-player game, war game out there. It's very easy to play. Shadows Over Camelot, which is a co-op game. which is a great game. Both made
that one's fantastic.
Actually, both made by the same company. And I have not played this. I've seen it played, but it is out now. The World of Warcraft, the board game, is out.
It is out. I have heard no one talk about it.
I've heard better than average reviews. No one's absolutely raved, but they said it's a fun, definitely RPG element, board game element, where you get to build your character a la Talisman. It is $80, so you hope you really love that game.
What's the one that looks like Name of the Rose, the one that you have that's like Clue?
I have not played that. That's called...
But it looks cool.
It looks cool.
The Abbey thing?
Yeah. Mysteries of the Abbey. Mysteries I haven't played that, okay. So I'm not going to... But there is one other one I haven't played, but I found it on the internet called Deflection.
It's great.
It's a kind of like a chess game, but each piece is a angled mirror, okay? And on each side of the board is a laser. And what you do is you move or turn a piece... And the object of the game is to shoot the get the laser angle to hit their home base at the end. If it ever hits a piece that it doesn't get reflected, then it removes the piece. In other words, you can shoot it in the back.
Oh, I want to play.
Anyway, it looks like
too.
A cool game.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Find it on the internet. We'll put a link to it.
Sounds like a great game.
And my last board game, Puerto Rico. I played it last week with
Aaron. Is Puerto Rican.
I am now Puerto Rican because I beat my two Puerto Rican friends who I was playing against. But it's a great game.
I've heard amazing things about that. I've also heard I don't mean to recommend a game that none of us here have played, but I've heard that the same people rave about this game that have raved about Shadows Over Camelot, Puerto Rico, Settlers of Catan. The game is Tigris and Euphrates.
Tigris and Euphrates is very, very popular, yes.
I've heard raves about this game, but I have never actually seen a copy, so.
All right.
Excellent. I got a couple of just books.
Okay.
One is the new Terry Pratchett's Thud.
Thud?
Which
Thud.
I still have not read. I'm holding off till Christmas.
It is great.
I have a 12-hour drive up to Oregon that I'm splitting with my stepbrother, so I'm hoping to bring Thud along on that drive.
It is really, really great. Also, the newest book in the Robert Jordan series, Wheel of Time series, is out, which is great as well. Actually, he's back on track.
Okay.
He's back on track.
I gave up 2 books ago.
Yeah, it is a damn good book.
Should I pick it up again?
You should pick it up again. You should definitely pick it up again.
Do I have to read the other books that everyone else logged through?
No. Go online and read the synopses of, even though you're going to be like, really? That happened? They're huge events, and they're written so badly, it's not worth doing.
Okay.
I mean, if you go from books 7, 8, 9, and just read them all online, all the synopses on, you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine. But he's back on board. And the new George R. R. Martin book is out as well, and that is... surprisingly not as good as I thought it would be.
Oh, really? I've been hearing that it's better than the last one. I've been hearing, like, serious raves.
So are you...
I like it.
Are you recommending it?
I like it. I like it. I love this series to death. It's half a book. I mean, it's... He even wrote a comment in the back of it that says, hey, what happened to all these other people? It's half a book, and it's deliberately half a book.
Yeah.
So the next one's coming out this year. And the last one is the new annotated Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I have
which
that.
Which is out. Which is fan-frickin-tastic. And has all
these... Do they have the third
new...
version out yet? Because I have the two that's bundled together. Mm-hmm. There's a third one.
There's a third one that I believe... I just heard about it on NPR. Sounds really great.
Yeah,
all these wonderful things. Illustrations. Beautiful, beautiful book.
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah. It's a double volume, and there's a third volume coming. So.
Woohoo!
I have video games next on my list. And I haven't played all these, but all these are rated very high, and I have played some of them. The new Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones, is out for Xbox and PlayStation 2.
That's really cool. You get to play as this sort of Death Knight prince, and rather than the blade that he uses to kill everybody, he has this sort of like
he
ivy.
He turns into ivy.
Yeah, he looks like an ivy-like weapon. Then he can
he turns
like,
into the God of War guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Effectively.
Guitar Hero. Which I cannot wait to get.
I was going to suggest that one. This one has gone under the radar for a lot of people, and I'm kind of surprised by it. It's the newest game out by the people who made Frequency and Amplitude.
Okay.
So it's a rhythm game.
And rather than playing it on a controller, you play it on special guitar controllers.
It has a whole... with a whammy bar.
So full guitar. You know, it looks, it's cute. I mean, it looks like a kid's guitar.
Yeah.
So you don't want to play it in front of a woman you're trying to pick up. But
so does it kind of teach you how to play?
No.
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 Not
way
at all.
At all.
But the like, okay, at work, I get a great sampling of all these different video games as they come out. You know, mm-hmm. everyone and their grandmother is playing different games than where I am. When a great game comes out, normally a lot of people pick it up. This one has gone under the radar. There's only two people downstairs playing the damn thing. But every time they play it, people just gather around and watch. You
it's
know,
fun. It's,
I hear it's great, you know, and it's got great reviews.
Have you heard about this new guy who invented the virtual air guitar? He's from the Helsinki Institute of Technology. I can't think of his name. But he invented a machine. You basically put on orange rubber gloves,
mm-hmm.
And then you play virtual air guitar. And it tracks exactly where your fingers are and stuff like that. And you can play like anything. You can play Anagata Devita, for God's sakes. You know, you can play anything in the air. And it sort of goes, okay, he's basically playing this song, and it does it for you. So, you know, the better you play air guitar, the better it does.
The more it knows.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, slight tangent there. Did any of you ever go to Epcot when they still had the World of Imagination?
No.
I probably did, but I don't remember Epcot very well.
World of Imagination was this thing where, like, you go on a little ride and you get escorted by a little purple dragon and a big fat guy who showed you, look, if you have a brain, you can think about things and go there, right? But at the top, they had a musical area, right? And they were showing you what were supposed to be the instruments of the future. And one of them was a light organ. I thought it was just the coolest thing in the world. Don't even go there.
Sorry.
I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Baby,
have
you seen my light organ?
They had seven beams of colored light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd put your hand in there and it would give you a different type of tone. And then depending where you put your hand in the light, it controlled the pitch.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was like...
It's like a light theremin in a way.
Yeah, oh, it was beautiful. It looked so cool. And the music sounded really kind of crappy, but it was because it's being played by children, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It seems like such a good idea and it just went away.
All right, back on track. Let me run through these. Resident Evil 4 is now out for PlayStation 2.
Wants it.
It's pretty much rated as the best game of the year.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet. I'm going to play it this holiday season. Battlefield 2 Modern Combat for PS2 and Xbox. Mm-hmm. Shadow of the Colossus, I just finished. Awesome, awesome, awesome game. These designers are on a entirely different level of design than mm-hmm. the rest of the gaming community. It's just...
They went out and they got game designers, not video game designers. You know,
well, the gameplay is not as revolutionary as just the look. I mean, just the feel and emotional impact that it has on you. It's just well designed.
Did it make you cry, Aaron?
It almost did. Actually, there's something that happens in it that I have to say. I was like, my mouth opened up. The storyline. I was like, oh, you bastards! And it was a cutscene. It wasn't like a gameplay. I was
nice.
Like, oh, bastards, I can't believe you did that.
All right.
So anyway.
I'll get in line behind Matt and Peter.
Half-Life 2, which went underneath the radar, but it is amazing on the Xbox. And again, any of the Brothers in Arms games, I think just great World War II games.
Rock.
Okay. I'd like to suggest Call of Duty 2, but I have not played that because it's out on Xbox 360.
Well, the two that I'm going to throw out there are Call of Duty 2, which is out for PC and for
Xbox 360.
The movies, because I worked on it, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And aside from a very few other games, it got some of the highest ratings I've seen in a long time.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Civ 4 has to be recommended, because people are slowly disappearing again. All those Civ fans are just vanishing. And what was the other one that's gotten big reviews lately?
Ultimate Spider-Man. Great.
Ultimate Spider-Man. That's kind of an older one right now.
Yeah.
But I'm blanking on the last one, damn it. I'll come back to it.
Petey, hit
any other video games?
Warcraft, no. Obviously.
Right.
And, you know.
And the expansion pack is coming out.
It is coming out.
When is that coming out?
Soon.
I thought it was like mid-next year.
It's Blizzard. Soon.
Next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I have a couple, actually, items that are not games.
Yeah, I do,
like gadgets?
Yeah, I have gadgets.
Okay, gadgets is next on my list, too. Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, we've got the Xbox 360.
Yeah, go buy that.
Yeah.
Try and get it, but
Okay.
There's something, if you live in a populated city like Los Angeles, it's not every place, but there's a thing called trafficgauge.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what they basically get you is a little tiny portable, you know, tablet that you put in your car. And whenever you get in your car, you can look and see where the traffic is bad.
Mm-hmm. That's
cool. Great. If you live in a place
and
like
in
Los
Angeles,
Angeles,
this is a genius
device.
Yeah,
that's a lifeline
device.
Very
useful. You've got the iPod video.
Yeah, okay. That was on my list.
That's cool. And then two other things I saw that were kind of interesting were the never late 7-day alarm clock. If you have an unusual schedule, where it's a regular schedule, you can set this for a different alarm each of 7 days.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Thought that was neat. And then last is a Wi-Fi digital hotspotter that you can have in your car. And as you drive around, you can see when it picks up a signal.
That's slick.
So you can war driving or whatever?
Yeah, so you can just know that, you know, oh, when I drive through here, I can pick up signals and I can stop and check my email.
Hit it.
The first thing, iPod video, PSP, and the TiVo, and the reason why I'm bringing all these three up, because they would work great with this device here. It's that little device on top of my television. That's the Neuro's MPEG-4 Recorder 2. And what that does is you just run video into it, and it will, DVDs or whatever, there's no, it'll strip them right off of the DVD player. It makes little MPEG-4 files, either 640 by 480, which is kind of large, which is pretty high res, not super high res, but also will make them the exact size for your iPod video and for your PlayStation Portable. So I like put my, I just ran Wrath of Khan through there. Now I have it, you know, working on my PlayStation 2. I've got the whole movie without having to go through the rigmarole on a computer, which takes forever.
It all happens
instantly. I would go pick this up before someone sues them, because I guarantee that a company is going to be getting them to stop that. And coming up in the future, maybe even January, Apple's new iBook is rumored to come out with the first Intel processor, the first one.
About time.
Low-end, cheap Macintosh.
Because those suckers are running hot, too. I have a few gadgets and stuff like that. These are the things that I just absolutely love. There's an ergonomic kneeling chair for when you work on the computer and you got a bad back.
You mean like the 80s?
Yeah.
The 70s had them, too.
Yeah, 70s had them. You can get them online from shop.com for $89. Really cheap. They even have a Tempur-Pedic seat to it that really, really supports your lower back. Really wonderful thing. Digital recorder, Olympus. Amazing little device. We actually use it on our show, the one
that's the one.
Really, really great one. Do you have one that basically slots directly into your into your FireWire or
yeah, I don't do it that way. Yeah, okay. It's on a USB.
It's a USB port. Really easy, really fast, great digital recorder. there's this new cam. I've been looking for cameras. There's this amazing camera that a lot
still
of people
or movie
still camera actually that a lot of people have been talking about. It's the $350 Panasonic Lumix DMC FZ5 digital camera, and it's like the new digital camera if you're a gadget freak in Silicon Valley. This is the camera to get,
and that's because.
Okay, mid-level model has a glass lens of an SLR, smaller scale. Attached to a hand-sized 5-megapixel sensor is a very fast, extremely sharp zoom lens made by legendary optician Leica. The zoom is wonderfully telescopic, ranging 12 times all the way from the 35-millimeter equivalent of 36 to an astounding 432.
Dang.
Yet clearly bright at 2.8 f-stop, which is perfect for low light without flash. And the key innovation here, it employs image stabilization. The lens self-corrects for vibrations. This means that it can shoot indoors and night with zoom extended and get razor-sharp shots.
That's insane.
I'd like to see that work.
Now, how much does it cost?
$350. Nothing.
That's pretty
$350?
Good.
$350.
You're kidding me.
Exactly.
Let's get our hands
how
on
many
that.
How many megapixels?
Five.
I'm
buying
There's got to be something wrong with this.
I'm going to see if I can buy it for this Christmas. Anyway, so there you have it. Other than that, Sony 17 or 19-inch LCD monitor, SDM HS95P.
Oh, God, I would love a new monitor.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Perfectly clear. Brilliant monitor. Also, if you go to About... Yeah, it's called about.com. Mm-hmm. Great website. Right now they have a run on all the geek gifts, and they tell you in your price range which one's the best ones to buy. $100, under $200, under $300, $400, $500,000.
Cool.
They have best digital cameras on there. There are too many. I'm not going to go into them. But if you want to get your geek a great gift for playing video games on his PC, mm-hmm. Best card on the market right now is the NVIDIA GeForce 7800 GTX.
Yeah, how much is that?
That's running about $600, $700.
There are perfectly adequate cards out there you can get cheaper.
But the most economy...
If you have... Yeah.
is the ATI Radeon X800 XL. That runs about $178. Yeah. And it's the and it's an amazing card. It's an absolutely amazing
card. It's a good card. It's a good card.
Go buy a 360.
That's one thing I'd just like to encourage a lot of the people out there. If you're a listener and you have someone in your life who plays PC games, right? Ask yourself, do they know a lot about their computer? And if they don't, you might want to take the time to sit down at their computer sometime, figure out the specs on their computer, and consider buying them a new processor, a new video card. All of these things will improve the quality of life of the PC gamer in your life. And you'd be amazed how many PC gamers just don't think about this stuff.
You know, it's interesting because it really brings up one of the problems with giving a gift to a geek person. for example, you might give them World of Warcraft or a better card, and this is just guaranteeing you will see them less.
This is true. That's true.
Well, just to close this out on DVDs real quickly before we shut down the show, I only have three. Serenity's coming out on DVD.
Woohoo! The editing in that movie was amazing.
That's right. Nowhere.
Are you trying to sleep with Lisa?
Nowhere Man, the television series that came out on UPN, it got canceled after a year.
Oh, your favorite show in the entire world.
It's coming out December 27th on DVD, the series with all sorts of goodies. They have all these interviews with the actors and the creators. I'm really looking forward to that. And finally, Starvoids. I can't even pronounce it. Starvoids 2, which is like a documentary.
Starvoids?
Starvoids. It's like a documentary about the crazy fans of Star Wars waiting in line and fan fiction.
It sounds like a hemorrhoid.
Yes.
So it's like Trekkies, but for Star Wars.
It's like, exactly.
Starvoids?
Okay. Starvoids. And on the cover of Starvoids
is Aaron.
Is the Leia slave girl who is in our photos.
Nice.
Of course she is.
Yes. So anyway,
she was cute.
filmthreat.com.
All right. Well,
the other one I'd like to throw in there would be the Miracles CDs, DVDs, because that TV series just died a horrible, unfair death.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to check out a really good self-contained.
And that's out?
It's out. Lisa was telling me about
God
it.
God is now here.
Right. Anybody else? Any gadgets before we gifts before we close?
Let's shut it down.
I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent.
You have wasted another hour in some of your life.
Yes. We will not have another one before Christmas because, people are out of town and stuff, right?
I thought we were all here next week.
I'm here.
No, I'm leaving on the 18th.
Why don't you love us?
So
you love your mother more.
Beyond the obvious.
Oh.
Anyway, we'll be back after Christmas.
Okay, I love you guys.
And we'll have at least probably one before the New Year's, maybe?
And
Shall
we hint at
around
what we might be able to get? Shall we hint at our
problem? No. We don't want to give any false starts.
Okay. No. So anyway, we will see all of you close to the New Year's. And
have a great geek holiday.
That's right.
And happy geek year.
Bye.